The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show. In what could be this week the hottest temperature ever recorded in the month of April, pushing toward 104. Tom Fairbanks, welcome to July in April.
Well, the thing I like about this, if there is anything to like about the heat, is what it hopefully will do to the coronavirus.
Yeah, let's hope it kills the CV and kills it very quickly. The Buckmaster Show with you on this Tuesday. This is the 28th of April, 2020. We do practice safe distancing here while bringing people together from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We're on 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback with kvoi.com to give you the live stream. All of our programs, podcast available 24/7, buckmastershow.com. Live line number, if you'd like to jump in and ask a question of any of our guests, the number is 790-2040. Well, as people around the world self-isolate to slow the spread of COVID-19, many time-honored rituals, including graduation, proms, weddings, and even funerals, have been canceled. The absence of these rituals magnifies an already stressful time. Let's welcome now on the live line Maribel Alvarez, Associate Research Professor in the School of Anthropology at the University of Arizona. She is the Jim Griffith Chair in Public Folklore at the UA-based Southwest Center and Associate Dean of Community Engagement for the College of Social and Behavioral Sciences. Professor Alvarez, thank you for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Bill. It's been a long time. I'm happy to be here with you today.
Yeah, it's been too long. I'm so glad we could reconnect under these very difficult times. These important transitions in our life, in our lives, are commonly marked by rituals. Now they're on hold. How big a deal is this, Professor?
Oh, it's a big deal for sure. There's a sense of a part of our humanity that is absolutely expressed through ritualized behavior. Now, rituals are a little bit different than routines, and I think that's important to realize. Everybody gets up, they brush, you brush your teeth, you grab a cup of coffee. Ritual is the part of those routines where we are intentional about calling attention to the meaning behind the words, behind the action. Think of a wedding. Everybody knows that we fall in love, we make commitments, but in a wedding, you have 200 people listening all at once at that particular expression of the commitment. That's what the ritual part of the everyday life activities becomes important in the moment that you're spending time to call attention to what you're doing.
And doesn't a ritual also provide us with a soft landing for all those kinds of conflicts that come up in the family? This is usually the opportunity at the wedding and in the funeral to mend the fences, if you will, isn't it?
Absolutely. And not only that, Bill, but consider the fact that even moments of celebration, in as much as they represent a change in status for the individuals, create a certain anxiety and tension. There's a risk. You're a graduate student. You're a student, and then you're graduating. You're now going to be treated a little bit different. You're going to be now a college student, or you're expected to enter the workforce. You were single, and now you are going to be in a committed relationship, witnessed by many people that know you. And, of course, funerals are the ultimate in the sense that you are passing from one stage of life to non-life. So all of these carry on moments of certain risk in terms of anxiety, apprehension about how we may be perceived. And rituals are always there to give us a little bit of framing. It's like a frame around a photograph. for us to handle a little bit of those things that many times, by the way, are unconscious. We're not aware that we're experiencing that anxiety.
And this Zoom, the teleconferencing that everybody's doing, and everybody's online, and they're even doing funerals now online. I guess it's the next best thing, but I'm telling you, Professor, that I'm having a difficult time because we've had to transition to all telephone interviews. My show has suddenly become all telephonic. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, and I know you know this as well, there is a certain eye contact with people. There is nothing like one-on-one communication. And that's why I like my guests, if possible, seated across from me here in the mm-hmm. studio. And we have certain signals as human beings. We know how to communicate one-on-one, face-to-face. This online stuff is difficult, isn't it?
Well, Bill, I think we're learning now that what was up is now down, what was down is up. I mean, everything is being upended. Here we have a situation where young people, for example, at the university, were already showing trends that they would enroll on an online class, but they would still be living in the dorms. Now, and then everybody was like, well, that's crazy. Why would you be online when you are actually physically on campus? All of a sudden, after COVID-19, the reverse is true. People are now offered the opportunity to be online, but they want to be on campus. Overwhelmingly, students are saying that they want to come back. They want to be together because part of being a student, part of going through that rite of passage is actually physically engaging in the activities, the routines of college life. So I think we're learning that on the one hand, we are adaptive, and thank God for that. I mean, if human beings could not celebrate their capacity to adapt, where would we be, right? What would be of us? On the other hand, a lot of things that we thought were the end all, like technology, are proven to be limited in what they can offer us as comfort.
How do you see these certain aspects of rituals, things like physical contact, shaking hands in church? How do you see all of this changing, Professor Alvarez?
Well, I think always half the glass is half full. I remember at Tucson Meet Yourself meeting, the first time that I got involved, meeting one of our monks from the Buddhist temple. And I went and stretched my hand to shake his hand. And then he went and did this gesture with the two hands together and bowed his head and said, I don't shake hands. I remember the first time that happened being startled. Oh, okay, I have to adapt to this different cultural norm. Then it became routine. Every time that I saw him, I would actually know that that was the way that I had to behave in greeting him. Well, I think the same thing is going to happen to all of us. We are now adapting to the sense of limited social distance. Even when all of this happens and we are able to gather together again, there may still be social distancing that lasts longer than the actual imminent threat of contagion. So we are adapting. We're going to learn how to do it. Will there be a longing for those ingrained customs of hugging and kissing and shaking? Of course. And we will deal with those accordingly, as we always do, as things that are in the culture important, but not always free to exercise.
Bottom line, as any student of culture knows, Professor, change is that one constant, isn't it?
Absolutely. And we're wired to accept change, and we are wired for adaptation. And that is one of the things that we have to keep reminding each other. It's better to have an interview, a conversation with a family member, a birthday cake when we are on Zoom, than not to have it at all. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is something we remind each other, that we can do this together.
You're so right. I mean, Zoom is better than nothing at all in celebrating a birthday or some special occasion, and I guess that goes for a funeral as well. So kind of the next best thing. How has this changed your life, Professor?
Well, you know, I have been reading interesting stories about why is it that Zoom meetings are so tiring. it used to be your normal day was also punctuated by social encounters that provided soft landing, like you said, for those things. So, yeah, you had a meeting, but sometimes you went to lunch or you share breakfast. Or when people came, you walk across campus to go to that meeting. So then now in Zoom, this sheer passivity of having to be in front of a screen sitting on the same chair, it's something that is challenging. And there are ways in which I feel that very much. So I'd rather be out there socializing. And then realizing that some of those things that took me from meeting to meeting were actually part of how my day was filled with meaning, right?
Yes. In conclusion, how is my friend Big Jim Griffith doing?
Well, Jim has been sheltering at home. You know, he's in his mid-80s, so being careful to not expose himself because he's in a vulnerable group. But other than that, always sharp, in good spirits, and always telling stories.
Oh, yes. Boy, I miss those wonderful stories we used to have on Channel 6. Please give him my regards, will you, Mary Bell?
I will, absolutely.
Thank you very much. Stay safe.
Stay safe, and thank you for having me, Bill.
All right. Mary Bell Alvarez, professor at the University of Arizona in anthropology. I want to tell everybody about my favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery. They do such a beautiful job. They do the Danish kringle, of course. That's the signature piece at the bakery. But I want to emphasize right now, if you're anywhere near the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, haven't had lunch yet, why not go in the bakery? Order what you want. The bakery goods are there, the breads. They've got the grill. They can do what you want, the sandwich. You make your order. Then make your way after you obtain your goods, then you leave. And hopefully things will be starting to loosen up as far as restaurants are concerned. But right now, go to monasdanishbakery.com if you'd like to call ahead. Their phone number there on the website, 579-1959. Give Mona's a try. I think once you do, you'll be a big fan like I am. They're open at 6:30 in the morning, close at 2 in the afternoon, open right now, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Shelley Fishman, our friend, coming up right after this.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
During the coronavirus crisis, Viro Amore restaurants in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana are still open for takeout and home delivery. You can still enjoy all your favorite Viro Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza. They're all available for takeout and home delivery. More at viroamorepizza.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen.
Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
It's easy being green. Promote wind, install solar, drive electric cars, ban mining. Wait a minute! You can't ban mining! Green is good, but hey, no can do without the metals green products need from mining. If you ban mining, you'll ban everything green. And today's minds are on board, researching technologies that provide critical materials for a greener world. Being green, another miracle from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
And here he is, telephonically, my friend, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how is your day going so far?
Other than dealing with a crashed computer that I had to replace.
What?
Everything is just, you know, peachy keen.
Yeah. When did the crash happen?
Oh, it's been happening, building up over the past couple of weeks. But I finally broke down yesterday and bought a new one, and so it seems stable, and I've, you know, of course, spent most of the night last night
getting
it all set up.
Well, we had a nice conversation. I know you heard part of it. You were on hold with Professor Alvarez about one-on-one communication, how many of us miss that. Me, for one, normally you're seated here across the table from me, and there's just something about that kind of communication, and we've had to put that, all of us, on hold for a while. How has this affected your life, Shelley?
Well, you know, my life tended to be work from home anyway.
Okay.
And so, other than the fact that I can't go out to the movies or go out without feeling like I need to protect myself from others and others from me, it hasn't been that extreme. The other people in my profession who are regularly seeing clients or who would normally regularly see clients, this conversation that you had just in the earlier segment was absolutely perfect because people aren't doing that except very rarely right now. A lot of financial advisors are working with their clients telephonically. They don't get an opportunity to sit right across from them and judge their emotions and judge the degree of anxiety that they feel because of what's going on, not only with their potential risks to their health, but also the potential risks to their financial health.
Yes, and those subtle kind of facial movements let's face it, folks. We're hardwired for face to face communication.
Absolutely. You know, several years ago, I had an article published in the Financial Planners magazine that talked about empathy and the importance of being empathic with a client, of mirroring that client and trying to put yourself in the place of that client to understand what that client was thinking and feeling. It's very hard to do that over the phone.
Yes, it is. And the subtle things like picking up, you mentioned the anxiety, and sometimes when a suggestion is brought up, I'm sure that an advisor would bring up something, there may not even be a verbal communication. Do you understand what I'm saying there, Shelley?
Sure, absolutely. You understand when you're sitting across from a client or a colleague or a friend, you understand when consent or assent is happening. And you don't necessarily need that person to say, I see, or yes, I agree, or yes, let's do that. Sometimes you can come to decisions jointly without ever having to do the typical selling job of qualifying and then overcoming objections and then asking closing questions and the stuff of sales. With clients who trust you and with in whom you have a trust and a caring, again, empathic relationship, that happens almost on its own. But it's hard over the phone to do it, and especially at a time when clients are being bombarded with a conflicting stimulus, conflicting information. They're not getting consistent information from the federal government. They're certainly getting conflicting information from governors and what they're hearing from the feds. And they're being bombarded by opportunistic scam artists who are trying to sell them stuff at a time when these scam artists know that their anxiety levels are at a very high level and that they are, let's call it subject to being confused and persuaded by stuff that is most likely junk.
How do we avoid scams, Shelley? Give us a few tips.
Well, gosh, the first thing is if it comes in on the phone and it's a recorded announcement that you don't have a relationship with, like your exterminator, for instance, who is calling to confirm an appointment, or your doctor who's calling to confirm an appointment, hang up. Do not even listen to the message. If it's coming via, I always think of people who call me unbidden as people who have forced their way into my house.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get my attention, send me something in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, people believe that email and snail mail are the same thing. They're not. I would say that during this pandemic, my spam email has increased probably three or fourfold. And some of it has to do with people trying to convince me that they have the best newfangled way to make money in what is now a very tumultuous and volatile market. And so the stuff that I'm seeing, if you don't know any better, you're going to scratch your head and say, well, maybe I ought to explore this a little bit. And first of all, if it's a legitimate scam, by which I mean they're really trying to sell you something, you're probably not going to wind up with a virus on your computer. On the other hand, very often these scams do contain viruses. And so as a general rule, if you don't recognize the sender, you should delete the email. And certainly if they're sending you a link that you don't recognize, what you can do is hover your mouse over that link. And if it doesn't come from the person they said they were, in other words, if it didn't come from your internet provider, then it's probably a fraud and you should delete it instantly. Certainly never open any attachments or anything like that.
Well, it kind of makes sense why the scammers see this as a great opportunity. They know that everybody's at home and they've got a very, very captive audience, right, Shelley?
Absolutely, and they're at home and they're either fearful or, with the market down as it is, greedy. And those two things, fear and greed, are just about the worst motivators that you can have for making financial decisions. And Bill, you and I have talked about this time and time and time again. I feel like I'm a recorded announcement, but don't take the advice of somebody you don't know. Get advice from somebody you do know, somebody you trust, and then get advice from somebody else on the same subject. Get three opinions. I can't tell you how many times I've had people now just in the past couple of weeks calling me and asking me, well, what about this stock? Or what about this industry segment? Or what about, you know, they're down right now. Or they're going to do really well in the electronic automated gig economy, whereas retail stores are not doing so well. So why don't I short the stores? You know, I'll buy some puts. You know, on I won't even mention the retail establishments. You know who they are, and I'll buy some calls on. Well, let's just say eBay or Amazon. And the fact is, the price of what people know about those companies is already baked in. It's already there. And so once you as a lay person have sensed that this is an opportunity, it's too late.
Yes. You've already, that horse has already left the barn.
Left the barn grazing and out running free. So there are ways to make money in a down market. There are ways to make money in an up market. There are ways to make money by investing properly, by doing it over time, by doing it in a way that is consistent with your risk tolerance and time frames, and in a way that is consistent with good proven investment procedures and practices. On the other hand, there are ways to lose money. Toot sweet. You can invest in something, lose it the next day if you don't know what you're doing. Yep. So the financial decisions always are individual things, but they should rarely be made individually.
All right. Shelly, stay safe. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Shelly Fishman. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. During the coronavirus crisis, Mose Gowrie and Fine Framing is open for one-on-one appointments only by calling 795-8226 to arrange a time with Mo or Corinne. No interruptions and no other customers. Mo will even arrange a drop-off at the store's front door and coordinate a virtual design session. Mose Gowrie, Fort Lowell and Dodge, 795-8226 and mosegowrie.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
And this is Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
Matt, did you hear that Travel and Leisure magazine just ranked the Douro Valley as a top 50 spot for world travel?
Yes, so how about Portugal and Spain for my next culinary and cocktail cruise?
Let's do it on the Douro River aboard the new Ama Douro ship from Ama Waterways.
I'll need a chef's table dinner, winery tours, and other private excursions.
Matt, consider it done.
Thanks, Ryan. Portugal and Spain, here we come. Go to bvtravel.com to learn more.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, 12:35 on a very hot afternoon in Tucson, Arizona. The Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 10:30. The Voice, Green Things, your home to take care of all of your, you want to plant a vegetable garden? Sounds like a great idea. A lot of people are doing it. Well, Green Things is your Green Lady Hydro business headquarters. The Hydro Store is just inside the main West retail building on the south side there at 3384 East River Road. They really, really have ramped up that business because there is demand now. Folks are growing their own, and Green Things has these ready-made hydro kits, get you going, and then you'll need all the various nutrients. And again, Green Things has all the top brands like Fox Farm, Roots Organic, and Ocean Forest. GreenThingsAZ.com is the website. Also, ZocaloVillage.com. Of course, they have Zocalo Village there. All those, that great merchandise, much of it hand-carved from Mexico and Latin America, on site on their 13-acre site at 3384 East River Road. There is so much confusion over this paycheck protection program known as the PPP. The federal government, what they have, $349 billion aid program for small businesses. Guess what? It ran out of money in the first 13 days of the program. Well, Michael C. Flowers is the Buckmaster Show certified public accountant, and I thought it would be a good idea to bring Mike onto the program right now to talk about tax implications of the PPP and all sorts of things associated with that. Michael, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Bill. It's great to hear your voice, even remotely.
Thank you very much. As we had a conversation earlier in the show with a professor at the University of Arizona, I was talking about how much I miss one-on-one communication. I'm that kind of a person. You are too, Mike. You like to see someone seated across from you. There's all sorts of kind of subtle communication that goes on, but that's for another day. What about these tax implications for the PPP?
Well, first of all, the PPP is, for a small business, it's the most generous thing I've seen come out of the government since I've been practicing, which goes back to 1976. So what the government's saying is once you calculate what your average payroll per month is, as well as your rent and utilities and some other factors, they will give you a loan to cover you for the following 8 weeks once you receive the loan. And if you spend 75% of the loan on payroll-related expenses, and it's not just the payroll, it also includes health insurance. Many employers provide health insurance. Or if there's a 401k plan that the company matches, which we do, that's also covered. So it's a fairly generous calculation of salaries. But if you spend the money in accordance with their guidelines, and it's critical that you work with the CPA or somebody to make sure you fall within those guidelines, then the entire loan is forgiven.
Really? That was my next question. I've had so many people ask me about this, Michael. Do you have to pay this money back?
It's doubly unbelievable, Bill. Let's say I borrowed $100,000,
yeah,
and I spent $75,000 on payroll and I spent $25,000 on rent, coincidentally. Not only is the loan forgiven, but that $100,000 is not taxable income to me. So I don't have to pay taxes on the $100,000, but I continue to deduct the $100,000 that I spent to cover those expenses. So it's a tax-free income vehicle, which is unbelievable. And given the circumstances that some businesses are going through, it was meant to be generous, and it's beyond generous from anything we've seen come out of the federal government.
So is there a PPP number two, since number one ran out of money?
It's just, in my mind, it's a continuation. What happened is they ran out of money, and I believe the difficulty is, Bill, different banks. We've applied for, helped clients apply probably at six or eight different institutions, and each different institution has their rules and requirements as to what the documentation is. Are you, and asking sort of innocuous questions, are you creating jobs, are you adding jobs, et cetera, et cetera. And we found that in many cases, I believe if you miss the first funding, they've kept those applications, and I believe those applications are ahead of somebody who decided to apply today. So if I applied and missed the first, that application would have priority over somebody who applied today. I say that generally because other banks may just say, all right, we're opening it up Monday morning, and if you get in first, then they'll do it that way. So there's been no accounting or accountability on how they determine which loans made it to the final process.
Boy, if you ever needed a CPA to navigate
this,
this has really, really kind of changed your business.
Well, what was unbelievable, Bill, this came out in the middle of tax season. This came out in early March, and we were, you know, fortunately they gave us an extension on our tax returns, but me and my 10-person office devoted most of our attention to helping our small business clients, because that's the bulk of our business, apply for these loans and or get ready for what they may need to do. And there's other benefits that aren't related to the Paycheck Protection Program for businesses that, you know, geez, I lost my employees. You know, we have some restaurant clients. They're down to a minimum staff. But in their case, the government also has a program where they'll pick up half the wages up to $10,000 a month for the next at least 8 weeks. And I believe that one goes a little bit longer. So there are other programs that you shouldn't be going on Google and trying to find out, geez, how does this relate to me? We've put in a tremendous amount of time in researching this and are sort of familiar, depending upon the fact pattern, on which is the best loan program to apply for or which payroll reduction is also available. But you need to tell your payroll company that, hey, these employees qualify for this, and then you will not pay your payroll taxes, essentially, and the government will give you refunds through your Form 941 and a newly created Form 7200.
Wow. So, now, how can our listeners get a hold of you and your team, Michael?
Well, again, Bill, as a courtesy to you and the community, we have a no charge for initial consultation. My phone number is 327-8706. Flowers is pretty easy to remember. If you look up Flowers CPA, you'll get us on our website. We're fairly prolific in what I do within the community, and just Google Mike Flowers CPA and they'll get everything on us. But the easiest way is our phone number, 327-8706, or they can go through our website. But, you know, our commitment to the community is to do anything to help anybody stay in business or maintain their business, or at least get as much aid to the business as they can to continue on and things they've worked their whole life to create. And, you know, now, unfortunately, we're seeing some people go through some very difficult times.
So can the firm, is the firm, your firm, Flowers and Rieger Associates, focusing pretty much on this all the time, or did some folks take that extension, Michael, until July the 15th for the IRS stuff?
Relative to our tax clients, that's smoothed out. Once April 15th passed, I think many people said, well, I'll get back to you in June or July. Nobody's rushing to get done by April 3rd. If they got a nice refund, we're encouraging them. But our workload now has evened out much more dramatically than cramming it all into the first 3.5 months of the year, such that, you know, between now and July, we're busy. But we have the staff and the capabilities and the knowledge to help anybody out there, whether they're a sole proprietor, an S corporation, a C corporation, an LLC, because different rules, regulations, different document requirements, and they've made it relatively easy to get through, but again, it depends on your bank. The other caution is if you don't have a banking relationship, it's very difficult to get through the process even. Because many banks were just handling loans for their existing clients.
All right, Michael. Very good information. Michael C. Flowers, certified public accountant, and Flowers, Rieger and Associates. Just Google Flowers, CPA, and Mike, all the information comes up. Have a great day. Stay safe. My best to you and the staff, please.
All right, Bill, you take care. It's great talking to you again.
Thank you very much. Okay. Michael C. Flowers, certified public accountant. Boy, they're doing great work over there navigating all this stuff and can really, really perhaps keep your business in these difficult times. We'll be right back.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
During this coronavirus crisis, Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, is still open for takeout and home delivery only. You can get all of your favorite Noble Hops menu offerings. Come pick them up, or they'll bring them to you. So check out Noble Hops on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and online at noblehopspub.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. When you're thinking and dreaming about when you can finally get away, put it on your wish list. It's only a three-hour drive from Tucson to a beautiful area of the United States, the southwest corner of New Mexico. Wouldn't a nice hike right now as summer comes on and the cool altitude there of about 5,000 to 7,000 feet in the Gila Wilderness. Wouldn't that be good right now? Check it out, southwestnewmexico.org, where to stay and what to do, all there on the website. Well, a range of United States-based companies from makers of masks like the N95, they are supplied by 3M to defense contractors, say they are affected by the factory shutdowns in Mexico. What's going on in Mexico? Let's bring in the Buckmaster Show border contributor, Keith Rosenblum. Are businesses, manufacturers shutting down, Keith?
Well, one of the things that they didn't quite work out with the new free trade agreement or trade agreement is the definition of essential. For example, this radio program is essential to my well-being.
Yes,
and
mine as well.
I would argue that it is to most of mankind. That would differ from other people who would say, you know, it is not critical. And so that distinction about essential or non is one of the things that is not uniform between Canada, the U.S., and Mexico. So So it's odd because it's situations like this where you actually realize how much we depend on Mexico. Of course, you know, you go to Safeway or Fry's or something, and you can realize how dependent we are on Mexico because that they basically everything in the produce section year-round is from Mexico. But it's moments like this where you realize, oh, my, that my car part, a missile part, a tractor part, something along the process, and lots of medical accessories. Mm. I'm not sure that Chamberlain, which employs 4,000 people in Nogales, Mexico, and makes garage door openers, I'm not sure that's essential. But there are a lot of things that are. And so in this most recent, you know, in the quarantine close down, you have lots of companies that make components for lots of different companies in the U.S. And actually, this was brought home to me last week because Kevin Messner, who used to work for Congressman Colby and is now at the National Association of Appliance Manufacturers or something like that in D.C., their clients are, you know, Samsung, General Electric, all these people that make refrigerators and stuff, things like that. And suddenly they have the ability to get the Canadian parts and the U.S. parts, and they can't get the Mexican parts because President López Obrador basically said, no, we're going to close these down. And each, as we've learned, really from political conduct throughout the world, presidents or prime ministers all have different interpretations on what they ought do or not do during a health scare. So anyway, they have not been able to source a lot of things from the state of Sonora, from the state of Chihuahua, from the state of Tamaulipas. And it's been fascinating to watch Kevin work to try and get the Mexican government to say, yes, this is essential, in which case they would then be able to free those companies to manufacture. I was in Mexico yesterday, and I will say this, that it's actually as the day-to-day, we'll call it the vibrancy or the buoyancy of Mexico, is parallel with ours. So these are not major, I don't think these are major issues. The Mexican economy is just as frozen as we are. I would say this, that the Mexicans are a lot less able to withstand a paralysis of their economy than we are. There are a lot of people who, if they don't get back to work, will be hungry, and Mexico doesn't have the bailout or the safety net policies that we do. They rely on their families for bailouts.
How bad is COVID down there, Keith Rosenblum?
Keith Rosenblum thinks that the incidence that's been reported is a fraction, maybe 1/5 of the numbers that are states that are in the U.S. And actually, there have been, it's funny because I was reading in Imparcial, the daily in from Hermosillo, I was reading about actual blockades at just south of Douglas that actually closed the roads to people from the U.S. I don't know if that continued, but I kind of enjoyed the story because they're generally Mexicans going back, you know, home to visit or something. But if you had U.S. plates or had a U.S. passport, you were told, you know, not for right now. And they did the same thing over at Puerto Peñasco, you know, Rocky Point, same thing going to Kino. But in the cases of Kino and I think Peñasco, I believe that they actually, it wasn't done for American. It was done for anybody who didn't have residency. They just didn't want people coming in and using the beaches. So the numbers are less, but their testing is inferior to us when it comes to knowing that people actually have it. There was a death in Nogales a while back. There was some death. I think the state of Sonora, which is huge anyway, Sonora geographically is like the same size as Arizona, a little less. But the numbers were, when I last saw, maybe like a dozen dead or something like that, directly attributable. So I think it's a lot less numerically than stateside. And maybe we'll know soon whether Mexico City is different than Hermosillo, is different than Tijuana. But from what I understand, at least the state of Sonora has been largely spared the incidents that the big cities have had.
Keith, I want to pick up on something quickly that you said. There's no bailout program then in Mexico. I mean, I don't know what this country would be like without this kind of a financial, somewhat of a safety net. Did I hear you say there's pretty much no safety net right now?
If I were in Mexico, Bill, I'd be looking for someone whose last name is Buckmaster and would take mercy on me because the government does have, López Obrador, I believe, and this I have to take a look at, I think that he mandated that everybody be paid for a month. So whether if you that he had the authority to do that. So anybody who's working in a factory, anywhere. But the problem is that so much of the Mexican economy is what they call, it's a euphemism. They call it the informal economy. It's not like, hey, you know, we don't have to be formal in our speech. It's like they don't declare their taxes and things. So the informal economy, which is say people who are not in formally in the system, is huge. We would call it the underground economy. And by most standards, it's like a fourth of the entire economy of Mexico, a fifth or a fourth of the entire economy of Mexico. So those people don't exist on the economic radar. And that means that when it comes time to allot benefits, they don't exist. So the answer to the question is the president and those who exist in the formal economy, they allocated, they ordered them to, companies to pay them a month of wages. And the president anyway has had this, President López Obrador has made one of the hallmarks of his administration to be pensions for the elderly, pensions for students, pensions for, you know, people who are left-handed. Not quite that dramatic, but there's lots of it. And that's been great, and the peso has been stable. But the country also, for a lot of people's standpoint, is like there's not a lot. It's a thriving economy, but not a growing economy. It's kind of weird. But yes, there's no, a lot of people just rely on family, particularly if you're not a member of the formal economy. And there are not any of the kinds of bailouts that we've had stateside, which I, by the way, to me have been, kind of generous to a fault and maybe misguided because at least in the Rosenblum family, my boy who works at a Walgreens, and will be making whatever he makes, you know, $200 for a week or $3 for a week, and therefore would not qualify for unemployment, would not qualify for the federal largesse, and he's the one who's out there taking the risks.
Right.
So I'm not sure how well thought out our own policies are, but we certainly have a study in contrast when you look at what the U.S. has done for its citizens and what the Mexicans do for theirs.
I have 30 seconds, and what a question to bring up. But when this all settles down, would you see, if the economic conditions are desperate in Mexico, a huge influx of illegal immigration into this country?
No, not at all. I see Mexico's economy is roaring, period. And right now, like ours, it's on a kind of a hiatus. But with the policies that are in place now and the ratios of labor to our prices, I still think that Mexico is going to roar, and we still have adequate steam valves in place to receive whoever they make, whoever makes it into the U.S. And for the people that we're deporting or redeporting to Mexico, they're still able to absorb it.
Keith Rosenblum, always a pleasure. Thank you, Keith.
My pleasure. Bye.
By Keith Rosenblum with us on the Buckmaster Show. That's going to wrap it up. Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. Thanks, Tom, for engineering and producing, making sure we all get our guests telephonically all set up and ready to go on the air, which they did. And that means you get 100% pat on the back. There.
A gold star.
Yeah. Coming up next, Dave Ramsey. I just love the way he's been handling some of these calls that come in with, you know, telling people this is not the end of the world. You know, we're going to get through this. It's always very entertaining, good information. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon, everybody.